Really didn't intend to wander back down this rabbit hole, but here we are.
Okay.
Stacey King was just with us. Stacey King, Bulls broadcaster. Kyle asked him about the MJ LeBron question, since LeBron just reached 40,000 points for his career. And Stacey King says it's MJ. So now on the chat, you know, that we've got that debate going.
Yes.
Do you want to hear from Rob in Rancho? Says he has the counter to what we're saying.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Rob from Rancho. You're on the drive, guys. What's up, Rob?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
What's happening, Rob?
Dude, having a great day. Love listening to you guys. I've been on board with dang near everything you've said all day until the LeBron Jordan thing. And I mean, you know, who really cares? Like, who's better, right? They're both one of the greatest that we've ever seen. I push that right there all the time. Like, I hate that yes. side of the fence where either side, you know, Jordan fans, LeBron fans, both do it. You know, like, it's slander to say one of those guys is number one. It's not. You know, saying they're not, that you're the number two best player of all time, that's just nothing but recognition. I mean, maybe like Kareem or Will, like we're talking about. My thing is, you look at scoring. It's an undeniable achievement, and you know, and I don't know that we're going to see enough, at least in our lifetimes, to beat that record. But then you look at his turnovers. He's number one all time just across the board. And then you look at if you were looking at his missed field goals, in about 10 to 15 games, he's going to own that record too, the most missed field goals. He missed about 9, 10 field goals a game. He's about 126 behind Kobe right now. So give him 10, 15 games, he'll miss the most field goals of all time too. So, you know, I mean, there will be those people that will push that, you know, devil's advocate side of it. Well, Jordan's better because he didn't miss the most field goals. When he got to 30,000 points, he was only one of two guys to do that under 1,000 games, him and Wilt. That's it, you know. I think LeBron took about two more seasons to get the 30K points, you know. He was the youngest, but he wasn't the fastest. I mean, and that's now we're just splitting hairs, you know. I mean, I'm lucky enough to have seen all of them play, and I'll say that right again. I love the counter argument. No, maybe not the counter, just devil's advocate. You know? I was like, I called originally to say I think we need to sign Monk next season. Maybe the reason we didn't do any of the offseason or the in-season trade stuff was maybe they're looking at signing him. And after this next year, if we extend him, that's 3 years, we'll own his bird rights. We could go into the luxury tax to sign Monk. You know, maybe Monty's sitting there talking to his agent saying, hey, we'll give you another $20 million guaranteed next year, and we'll give you a player option, but wink, wink, turn that option down, and we'll up the ante, you know, because we'll be able to dip in to the luxury tax to afford you, and we want you here. So I don't know if he's actually – I don't know if you can tell him that, but thanks for the call, guys. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate it.
Call, man.
Good to hear from you. The tricky thing with Malik is you're limited as to what you can offer him.
Right,
I know Rob's
right.
saying kind of wink and a handshake, but
– So, you sign him, take a – discount now with promising of a longer term, more lucrative
deal. Ask James Harden how that goes.
Right. Exactly. I think it's going to be tough, man. It's, you know, like when I look at Malik, is there an Orlando? Is there a team out there who has the cap space that looks at that guy as, you know what, he's a starter for us and we're going to pay him $25 million a year?
Could be,
And if you're Malik, you know, that's a lot of money. That is a lot of money to you know, a 400 or something like that that somebody can offer him. I think that would be tough to turn down because you're not just talking, you know, you're talking generational wealth. Like, you're talking,
oh, sure,
mama, we made it. We hit the payday. Like, we don't have to worry about anything ever again. And that'd be hard to turn down.
Yeah, like you say, it hinges on who those teams are.
Yes.
I know Chris Watkins has that list, and we can compile that. But that's the key to the whole thing. And, again, I know if it gets dicey, I think a lot of Kings fans are going to shout and stamp their feet and say, why didn't the Kings offer more? And it's like, you can't because of the terms that you signed them to. You're limited as to what you could offer them. But hopefully it won't come to that. Think about LeBron real quick. You know, when you look at Hall of Fame candidates for players, some players – have peak numbers. Like, they just, in a short period of time, they put up huge numbers. Other guys put up pretty good numbers for a long time, and LeBron has put up peak numbers for a long time. He's like, he's done both.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a peak guy or a career guy. He's peak for his whole career.
Because
his whole career has been a peak.
Yeah. And I think, you know, what's crazy, and I'm just Googling these numbers right here. LeBron James, this is a stat that nobody will ever achieve or touch, has scored double figures in more than 1,200 straight games. Think about that. You're 1,200 straight games LeBron James has scored in double figures. Hasn't left early because of injury. You know, didn't have a 3 of 20 night where he only scored 9 points.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Yeah.
And the thing that separates me, LeBron, from Jordan. Jordan's great. LeBron's assist. He can control the game and win a game, not just by scoring, but his assist as well.
Right.
His passing.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about making players better. LeBron has extended careers of a lot of guys in the NBA.
Do you still have LeBron's numbers up there?
Yeah, I got
What's his
here.
Career field goal percentage? Because Rob made an interesting point.
50.5, which is higher than Jordan's.
Yeah, because Rob said, oh, he's going to have the most misses. Well, of course he is, because he will have played the long. He's played about longer than anybody, and he takes the most shots. So,
right, but his efficiency is still better than Mike's. And so if Mike played that long, he would have, you know, the misses as more misses than LeBron at this point.
Right, so I don't think that's going to be held against him. Should we hold this against Minnesota Timberwolves? After the Kings marched in there and beat them in overtime, Jaden McDaniels said, I really don't worry about them when they come here. I feel pretty confident we could beat them 4 times in a row if we had to play them. We just throw this one to the side. And your boy Rudy Gobert said, I think we match up with them pretty well. They're the only team that's gone in there and beat Minnesota twice
when they're home.
And they're saying, no big deal.
And I get it. You know, you want to portray that confidence. You know,
they know they might play
them
again.
But I tell you what, Sacramento's not afraid.
Right.
Like, the Kings aren't, you know, worried that they can't beat Jaden McDaniels and the Timberwolves. And so that's some shade. You got your butts beat. You lost twice at home.
Isn't it also looking ahead to if they play them, though, down the road, so they can say, no, we were never worried.
But I tell you, what that shows me is you do have your eye on the game.
I agree. Like, I agree.
If this was the Warriors or somebody that's not, but clearly you're thinking, uh-oh, this could be a potential matchup, so let me already get this out there. We're not worried about it.
Who's the smartest player on the Minnesota team?
Mike Conley.
Mike Conley said, they have shooters everywhere. Playing big like we do, it's a rat race. Once they get the ball, they're throwing it out. They're trying to drive and kick, and you're asking our 7-footers to guard wings, and it puts a lot of pressure on us, and they have to be perfect to get stops and get back on defense, end quote. Mike Conley knows.
He's not saying what Jaden McDaniels
right,
is saying.
Right.
And did you see, and to Conley's point, Minnesota went with 3 bigs at one point. They had Nas, Cat, and Rudy Gobert. How can you guard the Kings with 3 7-footers like that?
They couldn't.
Clearly they couldn't.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're right.
When we come back to the Golden One Center, what Trey Lyles and Mike Brown and De'Aaron Fox had to say about that team meeting. Next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. You know, Kyle Draper kind of gave us an indication that the Kings might have had some kind of special meeting when you told us last week you guys were late leaving Denver because, what'd you say, the film session lasted an hour and a half
film session. Yes. I didn't want to say anything or allude to anything, you know, because I don't know if that's my place, but it definitely was strange. We're on the bus in Denver. And remember, that's why we were late. I was late to the show
that day. Exactly,
because, Because we were supposed to leave the hotel at 11. We didn't leave the hotel till 12, and that's highly unusual. Film sessions started at 10:30 Denver time, and I'm on the bus at 11 waiting. It was so long. I took a nap on the bus, woke up at 11:45, and they still weren't done. And so I'm like, oh, yeah, this is more than just your usual normal film session that they were having.
Yeah, the only way the film session lasts an hour and a half is if it's movie night, right?
Right.
Come on in, we're watching a movie.
Right, we're going to rewatch this whole game or something like that. Like, film sessions at most a half hour.
What did you think of the fact that Trey Lyles is the one who called the meeting?
I love it. I love it. And some people are like, shouldn't it have been De'Aaron
That's
Fox?
What your boy Compio says.
Shouldn't it the leader of the team? No, but here's the thing. When Trey Lyles speaks, that's when you know, uh-oh, something got to be fixed. Like, you know, because Trey Lyles, he's a little vocal, but he's quiet, leads by example, jokes around a little bit. But if he's upset, if he's pissed off, that's when you know, all right, something needs to be done. And I'm happy he did it.
Yeah, here's Trey Lyles at practice yesterday telling the media why he called this team meeting.
I just think at this point in the season, we just needed to come together. And, you know, it's been an up and down year, I think, consistency-wise. So we just needed to challenge one another as a team and as individuals to hold each other accountable and just talk about it as a group and voice our opinions on things and everybody come together on the same page. And it's just going to help us out in the long run.
So it's interesting to me that clearly, you know, for all the angst from the fan base, players were feeling it too.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to acknowledge that. We don't know what's wrong. You know, so it's, oh, we lost a game. No big deal. We got another one. But clearly, behind closed doors, they were feeling it too. And they were just wondering, what's going on and what do we do about it?
Yeah. And, you know, and I liken it at times to Mike Brown being a parent and having children. I don't know if you guys out there will get this analogy, but sometimes you look to your kids and you say, all right, do you have anything to say? And they're like, no, you know, they're quiet. But then they go up to their rooms and they say, oh, man, dad was mean tonight or mom was mean or whatever like that. You know, I feel like some things can be said with the coaches not around. You know, Mike Brown, hey, anybody got to say anything? You know, they're like scolded children, you
mm-hmm,
know.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. But the frustration level, and I'm glad this happened, and I think it was a great time to happen. Like, if this happened in December, then what do you do in January, February when things – like, this is the perfect time, I think, to sort of hit the reset, wake guys up, hold guys accountable. Your goals are still very much within reach, 23 games left to go. And so I applaud it, and I'm glad Trey Lyles did it. Somebody needed to do it, and I'm glad it was Trey.
Well, to your point, the daddy of the team, the coach of the team, Mike Brown, says – he loved the fact that the players had a players-only meeting.
I freaking love it. I've been talking internally to our front office, to our coaches, even to our team. We won't reach the heights that we can reach until you guys take ownership. As a head coach, you can push and carry the group only so far. There's got to be a point in time to where it comes from within. And they talk to one another, and they hold each other accountable, and they take ownership in whatever the heck is going on in front of them. And so for them to have that for the first time, man. I actually went out and had a drink last night. It was partly because of that.
Oh, man.
I think one of the best things about the fact that the Kings had a team meeting is that if you go back and replay in your mind some of the things that have been said, going back to last week against Miami, it was almost a very subtle form of finger-pointing going on. Almost. Bordering on that. And I think you had, like, De'Aaron Fox saying, well, you know, they really took advantage of some one-on-one matchups. And you have Keegan saying, well, you know, one thing we can control is our effort. We need to control that. So it's almost like guys came close to saying – our other guys aren't doing what they need to do. It never got to that point, but I think it showed some people were starting to feel that way, the fact that they had this team meeting and cleared the air.
Well, and here's the thing.
And it's natural.
The players see everything we see. So if somebody gets beat on an assignment or a backdoor cut, the players see that. We see it in film sessions. You know, I've sat there and we're sitting and everybody's watching it. And it's like nobody calls them out on it. And so this player's meeting – I think, for me, is an encouraging sign because, A, it shows me they care. This is something we've been waiting for, right? Whether it's a players-only meeting or guys calling each other out during the games. Like, just show me some life. Show me some passion. Show me you care. And I think that's what this players' meeting did. And, you know, it came out, great win against Minnesota. Of course, you got to back it up tonight against Chicago. But I think this team – and give it up to Trey Lyles once again, because we've been talking about who's that emotional leader? Who's that guy that's going to galvanize the locker room, pull everybody together. It seemed like too many times with this Kings team, teams would go on a run where the Kings would lose and guys would be okay with it. Oh, well, it's just one of 82. The one of 82 thing is out the window right now.
Yep.
Like every game, this isn't one of 82. These are big
one
games.
One of 23 or whatever
23.
It is. Yeah.
Exactly. With Dallas breathing on your neck, Phoenix, Lakers, all these teams breathing. And so these games in March aren't the same as October games.
Mm-hmm.
Like these games now, they mean something.
Yes. I think everybody, whether you're a Kings fan or not, if you're an NBA fan, you would say, who's the leader of the Kings? De'Aaron Fox. Well, here's De'Aaron Fox, his thoughts on the team meeting before the Minnesota game.
Oh, it was great. I mean, I think if you've ever been a player of any kind of sport, you've been around some guys who, I guess, don't talk openly when there are coaches around. Like, when you were a kid, when you were in high school, when you were in college, you've had guys that, you know, kind of don't want to say anything when coaches are around. And I think that's what's good about players meeting, because nothing has to leave the meeting. Obviously, whenever we're back with coaches, whatever our main point is, we let them know what it is. And at the end of the day, when you're a team, your organization, you have to have, you know, a middle ground. Obviously, there are some things that you want to do that coaches don't want to do, or coaches want to do that you don't want to do, and you have to find that middle ground. And then, you know, everybody talks to each other, communicates. We go out there and we make it work.
That's really interesting.
There it
you
is.
Can take that a number of different ways. Guys that don't want to talk around the coaches. Wow.
Yeah.
This team is an interesting team when it comes to the leadership and who the most vocal leaders are.
Right. And, you know, it's back to the analogy with, you know, a parent and the children. Usually these meetings, the film sessions, that's when they all get together. You just spent 15, 20 minutes to half an hour being shown what you're doing wrong, you know? And so your head's hanging a little low. You're down on yourself a little bit. And so when coach says, hey, anybody got anything to say? You're licking your wounds a little bit. Mm-hmm. So you're not in the right frame mm-hmm. of mind to fire back or say anything. And so then, like I said, brother and sister go upstairs to the room. Then they start talking and like, oh, come on, you got to do better. We need to clean our room more, you know. And I think that's what happened with this Kings team, man. And Mike Brown said it. You got to start holding each other accountable. Like, I mean, especially in team sports, Whitey, the coach isn't out there playing. You know, he can't go out there and you know, make the defensive stops and, you know, make the right reads and everything like that. That's why when you look at football, the quarterback is so important. Because he's more than just the guy that throws the ball.
Talking about Brock Purdy.
Yeah, your boy. Hey, Brock did a fantastic job. That's last year's news. I'm not going to get into it with you with Brock Purdy. But as the quarterback, you're the leader of the team. And if a receiver runs the wrong route, what are you going to just? Oh well, no. Quarterbacks. Tom Brady was notorious for yelling at guys. Or, you know, if guys weren't in position, calling a timeout, slamming his helmet, and being upset. And so that's what we want to see from our guys. Show us that you care. And I thought this team meeting did that.
Yeah, when it's just the players, you know they're talking about, look, how can our team succeed? When you have coaches involved, that's the boss. And my
right,
career comes
right.
into play. You know, my future with the team. Finances come into play. And if I say something about this guy, then, you know, I'm throwing him under the bus.
Right.
But if it's like just the team, guys, we need to win. What do we need to do to win more games? Kevin Herter said, quote, I think a large part of it is just getting on the same page. It was a time for us players to talk about and take ownership of what we're doing, talk about things that we think are successful for us and have been happening on the court and things that aren't. Davion said, we can't just put our heads down when we're not scoring the ball. We can't just lay down when teams go on
right.
runs.
Exactly. And so,
how many times have we said that?
Right. We've been saying that all year,
yeah.
right? Like, where's that fight? Where's that passion? And I think, like we've talked about, you need a player that sort of calls, you know, out another player, is that emotional leader. And so we saw it a little bit with Domas about a month ago when him and Trey Lyles got into it a little bit on the court. We've seen it with Malik and Mike Brown getting – like, I think those things are good for a team, you know. That brings about growth. That brings about trust. It's just like in a marriage also. Like, if everything's hunky-dory and no fighting or anything, when you are tested, you won't know how to react. And so, I'm excited for tonight and see how the guys bring it.
Yeah.
You fired up now. Let's go. Dance team is out here warming up.
I want an easy win tonight. And I know you're going to respect the opponent. I respect the opponent. I do. But come on. It's right there in front of you now. The apple's right there. You're almost close enough where you can pluck it. Follow up on the promise that, looked like you're starting to fulfill against Minnesota. Take care of business tonight. When we come back, who's best in the West? And is the West really great, or is it just really very balanced? That's next year. We look ahead to the rest of this King season with the Drive Guys on Sacktown. The Western Conference standings, at least for now, tell a happy tale for the Kings and Kings fans. OKC beat Phoenix last night. OKC number one in the West. Minnesota, after losing to the Kings, Minnesota lost to the Clippers by one. So they're second now. Denver's third. Clippers fourth. Pelicans are fifth, 36-25. Kings sixth, 34-25. So those are the teams out of the play-in. Then you got Phoenix with 26 losses, Dallas with 27 losses, the Warriors 28 losses, and the Lakers with 29 losses. Dallas lost to Philly yesterday. Warriors got disemboweled by the Celtics. How about that Suns loss last night to the Oklahoma City Thunder?
Hey, OKC looking legit, aren't they?
Yes.
They look like a team to be reckoned with. I understand in the standings, their best team out there. So, of course, but they're still young, but it doesn't matter. Like, Chet Holmgren was fantastic. SGA and Jalen Williams. Like, he's turned into a bona fide number two out there. And so the West is a dogfight, man.
Mm-hmm. As for Phoenix, right now, right behind the Kings, I heard this on Stiles and Watkins today. Devin Booker turned his ankle, so he's out 7 to 10 days.
Yep.
Have you seen their last 10 games, Phoenix?
Like, their last 10 games of the year?
No, the last 10 of the year.
No,
let me just run it down. I heard this today. I heard Alan run this down. I was like, what? Phoenix Suns, last 10 games at Denver, at Oklahoma City, at New Orleans, home to Cleveland, home to Minnesota, home to New Orleans, home to the Clippers, at the Clippers, at the Kings, at Minnesota.
Unbelievable.
They're done.
A gauntlet.
They're done.
And the thing is, Whitey, none of those teams are going to be chilling because everything is so tight that those games are going to matter for seeding.
Wow.
It's not like, Clippers are going to be resting guys. Like, they want to get home court advantage in the first round.
Right.
And so, like, all those games, Phoenix by far, and I'm looking at the strength of schedule, by far they have the toughest schedule remaining. Get this, Whitey. You mentioned the last 10 games.
Yeah.
Guess who else they play? The Celtics twice. They play the Celtics twice. They got two against Denver, two against Minnesota, two against the Clippers. They are done. Like a brisket that's been in the smoker all day. They are done. Pull them off, wrap them, serve them up.
Now, are they at least – they're going to be in the play-in? They'll at least be in the play-in, right?
Yeah. They'll be in the play-in.
But Beal's been hurt.
But, man.
And KD, I guess, last night he's saying, man, I can't – if they send two guys at me, there's nothing I can
do. And and remember a week ago we were talking about strength of schedule and the Kings were like eighth and fifth at one point. The Kings have the 13th most difficult schedule now. So it's lighting, getting easier a little bit.
Yeah.
But here
they're at home. Yeah.
Phoenix has a more difficult schedule. The Lakers have a more difficult schedule. The Clippers have a more difficult schedule. Even New Orleans has a more difficult. So those are teams you're sort of battling for position with. And so, as you always say, take care of home court.
Mm-hmm.
Kings
mm-hmm.
take care of home court. We ain't worried about the player. We talking top six.
I know. It's incredible that here we are. Now, when you look at the West, do you think the West – we've all said this. I've said it. I'll speak for myself. Oh, the West is so tough. Are there great teams in the West, or is it just really even? I don't know. Denver won a championship. If they win a championship again, we have to think, well, maybe that's a great team, back-to-back championships. But all these teams, the later we get, the more their flaws are revealed. It's very evenly matched, but I don't know that there's any great teams in the West.
Whitey.
Denver could be.
Is this what you're going to do right
now? OKC is up and coming.
How about this? are we talking great as in historically great, or are we talking great as in they can win a championship this year? Because there's a difference. I don't think there's any historically great.
I agree.
The next dynasty is not upon
right.
us or anything
right.
like
well,
that.
Well, someone's got to win the championship. That doesn't mean you have to be great to win a championship.
I think Denver can still win it.
I do, too.
I do think the Clippers can. When healthy and right, I think the Clippers can. After that?
That's what I'm saying. And there's good teams in there. I'm not saying, oh, these teams stink.
Right.
They're good teams. But it's a lot more evenly balanced here as we head down the stretch and teams start clubbing each other over
yeah.
their heads.
Yeah, but, you know, and I heard Jason Ross talking about this earlier, and I want to get your take on this. And people out there, 916-339-1140. When you look at the Western Conference, last year, I believe at this point, there were three teams with overall, 45 or more wins.
Mm-hmm.
This year in the West, you're going to have 6, 7, 8. And so my point is, and Jason raised this point, Sacramento has the same record as they did a year ago, basically. But the West is stronger. There are more good teams. So I could argue that the Kings are actually better this year than they were last year. I know it doesn't feel like that. But they are a better team. The fact that they are at the same record against a more difficult opponent in a difficult conference where there aren't any nights off, you could argue this Kings team is actually better this year than last year. You see what I mean by that?
Yes. I wouldn't argue that right now because, to me, it doesn't matter. Like, if this year's Kings played last year's, who would win? Doesn't matter. All that matters in terms of how good you are is how good you are relative to other teams. I do think the Kings – again, you know me, it's like, I've lost faith in them. I'm all the way in. I'm all the way in after the Minnesota game because I think this is the key to me. They established a style in Minnesota. I think they may have finally found an identity. Last year, there's no question. They knew how they were going to do it, and quite often they did it. This year, they've been struggling to find that. That's what I think was so big about Minnesota. Yeah, Davion saying, right. We just got to play harder. And Mike Brown said, oh, there was, 50 balls. We got 11 of them or whatever. Yeah. Something like that. That's how this team has to play. And it seems like they're finally, the light's going on. Last year's like, we're going to shoot, run the ball. We're going to score. And this year it's like, okay, that's great. We can keep doing that, but we have to be a scrappier team. Maybe the light has finally gone on.
Yeah, and it's not.
For this team to be as good as last year, they have to have a clearer identity. That's what I'm saying. And I think maybe
and no matter
they have
what it is,
it.
No matter
as long as it works,
as long
for
as
them.
It works,
yeah.
And so it looks like because we've been talking about they should be offense, you know,
yeah,
like, but they might not be able to achieve that like they did last year. So to your point, being a scrappy mm-hmm. team might be the way to go.
Yeah,
like I want this team, no matter who they face, opponents know. They're in for a
yes.
tough night.
Yes.
Right now, I don't think opponents fear the Kings.
Not at all.
Like, if I'm a player, I'm excited to face Sacramento because they put up little to no resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that could change. I thought they did a great job Friday against Minnesota. To your point, to me, that should be the identity. And I'm sure that's what Mike Brown wants. Like, no matter what, if you beat us, you're going to have to go out there and earn it.
Right.
We're not going to just lay down and give it.
Yeah. They should never be saying, oh, the other team played harder than us. I know it's right, you're right. human
that,
and it happens.
Yes,
but
yes.
this, I agree with you. I think that's key. Sam Amick mentioned that last week on with Carmichael Dave. Excuse me, the Jason Ross show with Dave Wagland. He said, no one's scared. The Kings aren't scaring anybody right now. And they have to be a team that at least teams are knowing that we go in there, you know, they're pushing, you know, it's no fun playing against them.
Right. And they won't give up. They
yeah,
won't
exactly.
lay over and play dead.
Yeah.
If, you know,
right.
we go on a 10-0 run and get up by 15, that doesn't mean the game's over.
Scrappy teams are annoying.
Right.
That's what the Kings
are. Are we
to
annoying
be.
Guys, though? We don't have annoying
no.
guys. That's the problem. You want us. I hear you. You know, I want you want a team full of Dylan Brooks. I know that's what you want. He's like, ah. You're going to have to earn everything.
Not the guy with, yeah.
You're going to come out with some battle scars if you play a team full of Dylan Brooks. But, no, I understand what you mean. It's not about fighting or being dirty or anything like that. It's just competing hard.
Right. You know? Yeah. How about this? This was very interesting to me. Chris Finch said after the Kings beat his team on Friday, quote, and I think he's a great coach.
Yes.
He said, they have an identity. They play to it every single night. We know what works and what doesn't work against them. I thought, have you been watching this team? But when they play Minnesota, they seem to have a clearer idea how to beat Minnesota.
No, you're right. I mean, we saw it the first trip to Minnesota as well. And so, you know, Chris Finch, when he sees the Kings play his team, he's like, man. Especially without De'Aaron Fox the other night, Malik Monk knocking down threes, Kevin Huerter, I thought made some big plays facilitating as well. And so, no, I mean, it's one of those things where if you only watch three games all season, you would think the Kings, you know, are scrappy, hustling, hard-nosed, you know, and those three games would be Minnesota. But it's still there. It's still time to lock into an identity. And I think it starts tonight. Like, okay, that was fine, but we saw it last week when they beat the Clippers and they came home and got rolled by Miami.
Right.
Like, you got to build some consistency if you want to build an identity.
Your guy Ryan Williams Art says, Drapes, that is a valid argument. I agree. It's even more impressive this year considering the bench is thinner. Arthur Smith says, the identity message now is they can go a seven-game series and win as they prepared for the playoffs last year, and now they know seven games. Yeah, I just think this team has been struggling at times this year to figure out, who are we exactly? We thought we were the team that we were last year, but we're not. So what are we? And I think that was one of the issues. I don't know if they specifically sat down and said, hey, guys, who are we? But I think that's one of the things they addressed and hopefully figured out when they had a team meeting.
Yeah, and not even who are we, who do we want to be?
How do we win?
Do we win? Like, what's it going to take night in and night out? And I think this is a massive game because, you know, you had the team meeting Thursday. Naturally, you're going to get a little bit of a bump. You know, all right, guys, do it one game. But can you do it again? Like, is this going to be your identity like we're talking about? And so if you come out and get rolled tonight – the team meeting, like, it's just like, what happened to that?
Mm-hmm.
So it would be frustrating. To your point, like you said earlier, you got to win tonight, right? You got to win.
So what do you think? 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Hit us up in the YouTube chat. Are the Kings better than they were last year? Drapes, you think they are, right?
I think they are.
I'm not buying that yet. I'm not buying it. What do you think? Also, we'll take a look once again because Drapes wants to take a look at what happened to his beloved Warriors yesterday as we continue to survey.
JB for three. That's how they say it in Boston.
Of the West with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. All right, things get a little out of hand here on the YouTube chat. Appreciate it. But
out of hand?
Compio and Megadeth are talking about the thumbs up police. They're saying, hey, if you're on, if you're watching, you got to hit the thumbs up. Let's go, brah. Step up. And then some people saying, usually I'm in the car. I can't really. I'm listening to the car.
Oh, all right.
I can't really. It's appreciated, but it's okay. But I appreciate somebody.
Can we see who hit thumbs up or not? Is there a way? I don't know if there is.
I don't know that there is. We can see how many, but I don't know if we can see who. Why are you going to say if you don't hit the thumbs up, we're going to banish people?
I might hook somebody up with some tickets one game. Like do a giveaway that way or something exclusively to the YouTube chat or something like that.
Uh-huh.
You know,
that's very nice.
You know, I'm a man of the people, bro. I'm a man of the people.
Well, I know that. Sometimes you say that, and then you have, you know, people text in about and you don't care for what they say. And you're not necessarily a man of those people.
Right. Those people, the Ryan Williams Arts of the world and the Compios that sometimes gives me a mess. No, but these are my people, man.
So you're a man of some people, I would say.
Some people, exactly. Exactly. Not everybody's my guy. A lot of people is, you know.
Uh-huh.
Ryan Drapes, I did. I hit the thumbs up. You like
me now? Everybody's
cool.
Like,
I know.
Oh, I hit it.
No, seriously, I would like to do, because let's be honest. People got a lot of things to do in this world. A lot of media out there.
Yes.
And the fact that, you know, our loyal YouTube watchers and listeners every day, I may give them crap like Folsom Mike. I don't know if you saw what Folsom Mike said in the chat. Remember earlier?
Yeah.
He was poo-pooing the win
against
Minnesota.
Right.
Well, he came back in there and he said, Jordan is the best scorer ever, best competitor ever. But his greatness and why he will always be the GOAT is because he's transcended the sport like no one in any of their sports. You got to acknowledge LeBron might be the best all-around basketball player. Doing what he's doing at his age is proof enough. Folsom Mike, and in quotations, again, so yell at me some more. So, yeah, it's a love-hate relationship I got
with
the listener.
That's right.
I love him. Sometimes I hate him, too, though. But, you know, sometimes I hate their taste.
I hate you.
You know, but, no, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. Best thing about Folsom Mike is he says, hey, it's Folsom Mike. So, appreciate that.
How about Sean in Placerville, though, also weighing in on the YouTube chat? 19 seasons for 4 and 15 for 6. Jordan all the way.
Okay, that's actually the text line, right?
Yeah, the text line there.
Yeah,
that's text right there. Yep.
Yeah.
So,
what's your community of the evening going to be? So in,
I'm pre and post tonight.
I'm
not calling the game, so I get to rest a little bit. You know, It might be Folsom though next game. Those are my people out there.
So. Can you explain this to me?
Yeah.
Maybe there's something here I'm missing. To me, this is terrible.
What?
Travis Kelce and his brother Jason.
Yep.
They're gonna have bobbleheads that are gonna be given away tomorrow night by the Cleveland Cavaliers when they host the Celtics. Now, they're Cleveland guys, but they're on the freaking Kansas City Chiefs. Why are they giving away bobbleheads for a couple of Chiefs players in Cleveland? On the bobbleheads, they're wearing Cavs jerseys, but these are Kansas City Chiefs. This is disrespectful to anyone from Cleveland. It's disrespectful to the Browns to be giving away bobbleheads for the Kansas City Chiefs, isn't it?
So the
Cleveland Cavaliers
will give out Travis and Jason Kelce bobbleheads.
Correct. Tomorrow. And the bobbleheads are going to be wearing Cavs jerseys because they're from Cleveland, which I get. But come on, they're Kansas City Chiefs.
Hey, man.
And one of them is supposed to be the game, and they don't say which one, so they're telling everybody, well, you know, it could be.
It could be. Tay-Tay could be there too, you know. Hey, man, I'm not going to hate on it. I would like to score one. Because my boy Jason Kelce announced he's retiring, too.
Right.
So, you know, it's a big time.
Hello, Chuck.
In this.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You're here early. What's up, baby? You're here
great
nice
Chuck
and early.
Swirsky's.
Chuck Swirsky in the building.
Yeah.
Author extraordinaire. We got to get into his book as well. He got a great book that's out right now. But why are you hating on that?
I just think it's disrespectful to fans of the Cleveland Browns. That's all. I understand they're
from Cleveland.
When
the last time the Browns won anything?
Well, that's kind of the point.
No, I hear you. I hear you. It's but they're hometown heroes, you know. That supersedes it. It's like growing up in the neighborhood when young Johnny is from the hood, but then he goes out and stars for the Seattle Mariners, let's say. You want to see him do good. He comes back. Hey, it's Johnny Day in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
You celebrate. That's all it is.
I think you're right. I'm just not seeing it, and I wouldn't like it if I was a Browns fan. But, I guess you're right. Hey, hometown guys, and they've supported their local teams even though they don't play for one.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you see who was it? Travis, I believe, when Max Strus made that 50-footer. Last week, he chimed in on Twitter, you know, so he's a Cavs fan. Like, those are Cavs fans, even though they play football for other teams.
All right.
That's
it. That's why I ask, because it's like, what am I missing?
There's no loyalty between teams.
What am I missing here? What am I missing? That's like when Steph Curry years ago, when the 49ers were playing the Panthers, and Steph Curry's wearing, like, he, like, rang the bell or whatever they do to start Panthers games.
Did he really?
Like, yes. Yes. That was right before they'd won their first championship. It's like, really, Steph?
Yeah, or LeBron wearing a Dodgers hat or something like that, or
Yankees
or whatever he supports. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. Speaking of Steph, I know we talked about this earlier, but hey, what happened to your Dubs yesterday?
My Dubs, they got smoked. That was it was amazing. It was my son who was following along on his phone. He's like, Dad, I think Jaylen Brown's left hand has been better than the entire Warriors team today. You know, because that's a knock on JB.
Yeah.
He can't shoot his, with his left hand. And
get
JB
your son
was
on the show.
Dominating.
Show.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, he could be our little child correspondent, you know, connect with the younger listeners or something like that.
Yes.
But,
yes.
No, man, that was I liked it because Warriors fans started to chirp a little bit. Bonte Hill started to put his chest out a little bit. We're back. You know, we're a threat. Nobody wants to see us in a series. And then leave it to the Celtics to remind them, whoopsie, that there's levels to this. And so they a bit of humble pie yesterday.
Yes,
for the Golden
a lot
State
of
Warriors.
You know, that you probably know this. You worked in Boston. Celtics are the first team to win three times in one season by 50 or more.
I saw that. 50 or more. Like, they are a juggernaut. They beat the Pacers by 50, the Nets by 50 plus, and the Warriors as well. And think about it, though. A Steph Curry team got beat by 50 plus points.
Did you see what Steph said? What
did he say?
He said, that's what we used to do to teams.
Ooh. It's true.
Yeah.
It is true. And
yeah. It was like 70 to 32 or something when I was telling Sheena, my wife, I said, you don't see this in NBA. It's like a college game or something.
Right, right. And not an all-time great getting handled like that. And I think, you know, the Warriors got some issues. First of all, the defensive game plan on Jaylen Brown. We touched on it earlier. Daring him to shoot, and he knocked down five threes.
It's not working. All right, do it some more.
Yeah, keep going. I don't know. And somebody said this before the game. They were talking about how it's the last game of a road trip. Steph's not 100%. You should probably just rest him because it's probably going to be a loss anyway. And in hindsight, if I'm Steve Kerr, I'm thinking, damn, I wish I would have rested my guys. To get embarrassed like that, with
yeah.
Steph out there, Draymond, Clay, I mean, that's a bad look.
They sat him in the third quarter, right?
Yeah.
They sat everybody
yeah.
down?
Yes.
And Joe Mazzulla went with his starters because he wanted to have them. He didn't want them to – he wanted them to capitalize yeah. on the big lead and not relax. And he wanted to see them come out and play well, even though they had the big lead, and they did.
You ever listen to Joe Mazzulla's post-game press conference?
I haven't.
He is a weird dude. I urge anyone out there, look up Joe Mazzulla. Like, he challenges the media. He doesn't do coach speak. You know, it's weird. I can't even explain it. But I text my guy Gary Washburn, who's of the Boston Globe. We got to have him on when the Kings go out to Boston in April. And him and Joe Mazzulla get into it a lot. There was one point where, in a post game, Joe Mazzulla brought up an article Gary had wrote from 2017. He's like, yeah, Gary, are you going to ask me about three-point shooting? You've been talking about that for 7 years. Like, it's just weird. Just go look it up, please. I urge
people. Kind of confrontational, huh?
Yeah, he is very confrontational. Smartest guy in the room kind of thing. And it's working in terms of their winning. But, yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Well, he was under fire there for a while, right? So I don't blame him
yes,
for being
he was.
A little
And a lot of people
edgy.
Wanted him gone after this past year. But what they did is they brought in some veteran assistants. Sam Cassell is now on the bench. I forget the guy from Milwaukee that they got who's on the bench now. And so they sort of, you know, surrounded him with some veteran coaches out there.
Mm-hmm. Nobody leads his team like the King of the Kings does. Malik Monk. We'll yeah. relive what he did on Friday. Also, got a De'Aaron Fox health update. When we come back to the Golden 1 Center, the Drive guys on Sacktown Sports.